good to be here. It's good to be here. I'll talk a little bit today about you and me. This is a message for the brethren. This is a message for the Church of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to know these things. I'm sure He does. I received this message a couple weeks ago, and even well before I knew that I was going to preach here. And so with the sign of my wife, with her hands looking at me, folded, I need to pray. I get excited. And Father in heaven, I do thank you this day. And I worship you, Lord, and bless the holy name. Thank you, Lord, for you, Jesus, first. Yeah, because it's because of you in us, God Almighty, that we're here this day. And I know that, Lord God, I take no credit for what I will say, Lord God, other than the fact I will stand on your word in it. And God, we don't want a word from me, though. We want a word from God. And that can only come from your scriptures, Lord God, in the Holy Spirit. So therefore, I will be obedient, God, and I bless you for these people here that we rejoice in your word. Every one of us here, I'm sure, that love you and know you, God, and you will open our hearts and minds to it. Because you are faithful, even when we're not. We can come in here droopy and sad and not wanting to be here, but Lord, you can still open our hearts and minds to your word. I thank you, God, for that. And I rejoice, God, in my salvation. Amen. It is a word for the church. And I define the church as the remnant. And we all know, and I don't want to belabor the fact that we are in these days of these days of great apostasy and corruption and the last days, whatever they be it, but we all know and understand that the last days began at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when it was fulfilled that the Messiah would show himself and men and women would believe. And when they believed, they would go and they would be with their God forever by the blood of the Son. And the joy of the resurrection and our hope in it. Isn't it nice, people, our faith? Isn't it warm? It's not fuzzy, it's warm. And understandable. And it pours out blessings upon men and women to those who want it bad. But my brother Leroy today, he prayed something where I'm going to begin. Where I want to begin. It's not what is coming forth from this teaching, but it's what God told me to start with. Luke 18, verse 8. Yet when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on this earth? That's the question. And who is he saying that question to? The man in the moon? Trees? Chairs? He's saying it to us. Keep this perspective right, people. It's for now. It's for you. You know what? If he'd come back right now. If he would. I know this much right now. He would find faith. He would find faith right here. In Marion, Iowa, I can't decide if this is Marion or Cedar Rapids. That's always the question. Marion, Iowa, where he would be, where we stand and know the truth. Faith. It is what we lay and know our eternity is based on. I always like to say, I bet my eternity on this faith right here. And eternity is forever, and I know where I will spend eternity. Because I believe it. Will he find faith? These are the last days. No doubt about it. I'm not, again, belabor that, but these are the last days. Will he find the doctrine of faith? Faith alone. Faith in the true God, the only God. Will he find the grace of faith poured out? The unwarranted gift given to men who what? Have faith. Who believe. Yes, with the coming of Christ, will he find these things? Will He find men that exercise faith? In other words, walk in that Spirit and are obedient to the true God. Is that you? Is that me? This is what we must know. And we must stand on. If you don't, listen carefully. Because I will tell you about the remnant today. To those who believe. Second Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Oh, Paul. Examine yourselves. A lot of people don't like to examine themselves because they don't like what they see. But we as believers, we do. And we don't, if we find corruption, if we find sin, if we find this or that in there, we rejoice in God that He would show it to us. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. This is what Paul says. And he's talking, this is all in context of what? Of the fact that in 2 Corinthians, he is teaching because there are so many that are against him. False apostles have come in and they taught the wrong doctrine. And it hurts him terrible. This is Corinthians. He spent much time, was it over a year and a half the first time at Corinth teaching these people. And it breaks his heart. And anybody here that's an evangelist knows what a broken heart is. First of all, for the unsaved and those who confess and then walk away. It breaks your heart to see that they would hear. And Paul says, examine yourselves that you're in the faith. What faith? The faith that I have shown you of Christ and Him crucified and the sufficiency of the cross. And that your sins are forgiven and paid for by the blood of the Son. Examine yourself. I don't know what they added to that. But Paul would say this in Galatians, cursed be you, separated from God, if you believe any other gospel that a man has told you, and cursed, even if an angel speaks something different. Don't listen. Don't listen. And if you're going to listen, it's simply because you're going to try and talk them out of that wicked faith they're in. Jehovah Witnesses. Knock, knock, knock. Mormons. Apologetics. But when you examine yourself, you want to know and believe and trust that you are of the remnant. And we all know what the remnant is, right? I was just recently at a funeral. The preacher spoke of the remnant. This woman was a quilter. And everybody understands what a quilter does. They got chunks of stuff and they sew it all together and make blankets. Right? I think so. I think that's right. I'm not much on it. I don't think I could ever do it. But of course, it's in the gathering of the fellowship of the brethren, and they speak and they talk about all kinds of stuff, I suppose. But they gather pieces together that are from what? The bolt of cloth. And we know that. That big bunch of cloth is over there, and these little remnants are sitting right here. And we are but small. But that doesn't matter. The remnant is small. It has to be. The piece of carpet that did this room, I will guarantee you, or the pieces, or the rows of carpet, there was remnants left. There had to be. There's just no way anything could fit in this correctly. So the remnant, what does it say? But we are the remnant. So what God wants us to do is examine ourselves. What does examine mean? It means parazo. Parazo in the Greek. It says this. It says to test. That is to endeavor, scrutinize, and entice and discipline. You see all that in examination. You test. Is that right? According to the word. You examine. Is that right? Is that you closely look at it. Is that right? According to the word. Yes. And if you examine yourself and all these things and you know that you're your faith and your understanding and your doctrine is right. You are certainly, as we are, as this church is, a part of the remnant. Now, we didn't make ourselves the part of the remnant. He did. Christ Jesus, of course. That He give us the revelation and the understanding of who He is. Remember, we're not saved by doctrine, people. No. We are saved by a man. who was fully God and fully man, who died on that cross. But you know that Jesus said, my doctrine is from my Father. He had it. And we have it too in the truth of the statements that he was born of a virgin. There could be no other way. As the prophet spoke, that he would be born in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem as some of these sects preach. All of those. That he was sinless. These are the doctrinal issues. I think there's seven of them that we must believe. The Trinity, the truth of Christ, the truth of God, three in one. And it's beautiful. And if you study and look at it, you won't understand it, but you will know it's right by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's gorgeous. That demon God we know of, he needs his followers to worship him, not our God. They have each other, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They worship each other, for they are God, true God. How lovely. Examine and know that you're part of the remnant. Remnant means this, that which remains of the original body or substance. That's all it's just what remains. In reference to God's people, it means those who are faithful to His original truth despite apostate and in spite of the opposition. You want to know opposition? Stand in front of a Catholic church and declare to them truly that they are not in the faith, in the Christian faith. You go out throughout the world, and Cheryl and I have found this out, that when we ask them, they say, are you Christian? We say, yes. And then you ask them again, are you Roman Catholic? And they look at you and say, no, I told you, I was Christian. But we in the West want to lump it all together, see? We want to lump it all up and say, well, they're close enough. Not in the truth of God. There's no close in God. There is truth. In what He tells you, there is but one way to the Father, through the Son. There's no close. And we understand the blood cleanses us. And we understand that He suffered our death on that cross. That is the truth of the remnant. And we will not go anywhere else. But I've said to Cheryl before when we were on the street, you know what, honey, it's lonely out here. The remnant is small. Believe me, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men will pass by us, and women. And one or two might speak and say, thank you. I don't want to say too much. Keep it up. Once in a while, we have someone ask us to pray for them. Joy that is. 17 years of street preaching, people. 17 years. And not one man come up or woman confess Christ after listening to me. And then one week, it was in Ohio. 5 people accepted Christ after 17 years. The remnant doesn't look at the results. We look at the God who we know where the results come from. See, that is the remnant, people. It's not about us. You know, I'm talking about us, but it's really not about us. It's the God who caused us to be the remnant. And that's who we are constantly involved with as the remnant. That word shows up a lot. I can't help but use it. Well, I could use the called out ones, yes. Called out from Babylon. The separated ones, the holy ones, yeah. I could use them terms too. They are the remnant. Called out. Well, who calls us? But wouldn't it be for God coming to us first, we would never know Him. We weren't good enough to go to God, and He knew that. And in His mercy, He came to us. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. We could leave us in our sin, and we would perish forever. But He is a God of what? Oh, He's a good guy? No, He's a God of love and joy. And he receives things that are good from men. And the only way anything good can come from men is if He's of the remnant of those who know that there is no good in us, and the only good thing that comes from us is from the Father of lights, God in heaven, by the Blessed One who died for our sins. Oh my. Oh my. What peace. Know that I did nothing to receive what God gave me. Because I think I might have to do it again and again and again and again. Get that baptism out. I feel like I better be baptized again. See? You see? See it? You see why He did it all, people? Oh, the remnant knows, but it's small. Romans 9:27. Paul quotes Isaiah and cries concerning Israel. Says, though the number of the sons of Israel is as the sands of the sea, only a remnant shall be saved. Small. Small. The Jews. The Jews. 2,000 years of the testimony. Testimony of Gentile believers. They're proud people. You ever witness to a Jew? They don't always like to be told. Isaiah 1:9 says this. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. We should have been as Gomorrah. Do you hear that? You know, I've combed the commentaries on that. Because when I read that, I said, oh, us remnant people, we have a big job in front of us. And that is to pray that God would show mercy on many before He comes back. And influence Him. We can influence God in our way of speaking. But it's not, they don't ever say it that way. I believe that. I believe that remnant prayed for that Israel. And God didn't dump them and get rid of them. Just like Moses interceded. And said, who will declare your glory? Who? If you destroy us. If you destroy this people. Who will speak of the great works you did in Egypt and how you took them out of there? That's what the remnant does, is it not? Do we not declare the glory of God? Whether it be in our family, my beloved sister-in-law who takes care of my grandkids, and my son who teaches them, and they all work together, and I see so many families out here and the joy. Who will declare the glory of the God to generation after generation after generation? I'll tell you who. You. You know, I rejoice in too is when I see them. I got this letter from a ministry concerning children. And I love it. I'm going to send them some money. I can't wait to send them some money. Because if you get them early, if you get that seed planted early, I don't care what come against them. They still have that nagging in their mind of the truth of this God named Jesus who died for their sins. That's why I love children's ministry. Yeah, small. Why? Why would they be like Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, their land was already desolate, according to Isaiah. Verse 7, it says, a desolate land. Cities were burned, strangers devoured, and were overwhelmed by strangers. But yet, God left a remnant. That's you. You know what? It's not going to get any better out there. It's not. Well, what could... I'm not counting out an end times revival. I never will, because God is merciful. There could be many more. The remnant could grow. The remnant can grow, people. You know, you can get a man and measure the carpet along and cut it all out, and then there's this big old chunk there. And it's still a remnant because it's cut off the roll. It can grow. But it's never going to be large. We talk about the remnant when we examine these men that died for Jesus when they got their heads cut off by ISIS people. Huh? Where is the rest of them? Is that all there was? The remnant is small. Don't get me wrong, there could have been many more. But they, even them people know that if they slaughter too many in front of us, an uproar will come. Of course, they are Christians, and we're not really concerned about them, as we can see, as our past president was. Not concerned about Christians. What does remnant mean? Here's the word. Here's the word for the Jewish word for remnant. Sharaith. Sharaith. It's a remainder, a residue, a portion that has escaped. That has escaped what? False teachings, false prophecy, the world, Babylon, whatever you want to, whichever way you want to put it. Young people, Babylon's thick out there, man. It's everywhere. I see it. And the wisdom of 65 years and those who are older here, we know it is bad and it is deceptive. It looks so good, but yet it is not good. Remainder. Residue. Oh, that's us. We're the lame, the blind. Oh yeah, according to the world. God says, I'll take the lame. I'll take the blind. I'll take them. And I'll fix them. A group of people that stand with God. And who will remain faithful under any circumstance? Is that you? Have you thought about that yet? You should. No matter what position you're in or what time it is in the world, you should consider what you would do if you were asked to deny Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We know what that means. When the rest of humanity chases after darkness, those who are called out and separated unto God stay with Him in the doctrinal issues which separate what? The true church. The true church. Don't be haughty because we're a true church. Get on your knees and thank God. That's all. Because godly men and women gather and they know and understand the basic rudiment teachings of the Word of God, which is not very prevalent out there anymore. There is a generation or more who do not understand, if do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord, as God. They don't even understand that He is God, let alone that He died. Great weakness of the church. False teachers, technology, all the everything you can get one whenever you want it. You can punch a button on that computer and listen to any false teacher you want. False prophets everywhere. But not for us. God has given us what? The spirit of what? Discernment. Understanding. Of listening closely. There's something wrong with that guy. You can look at him sometimes. You could say that there's something wrong. Why? Because of the Spirit of God that lives in you. Born again men and women. Born unto God. Born from above, as Pastor Bill's book is named. You cannot deny the times we are in. I don't know how long it's going to take for him to come back. I got served 30 years ago and I thought he was coming back anytime. And I mean it. I mean, oh boy, he's coming back. I know he is. But I thank God he isn't back yet because there are many people that have heard the gospel and believed from all of us here that we can testify. But God, Maranatha. It's kind of a pull, isn't it? I'll give you the DNA of the remnant. Daniel 11:31 talks about the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Antichrist and the desolation that's coming within the temple. And, you know, it happened with the other guy, But he came and they destroyed the temple once, but the fulfillment of the prophecy of the son of perdition is coming. And it will be complete when this man, the Antichrist, stands there and what? Declares himself as God. And everybody says, uh-oh. Daniel 11:32 says this, and do as, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Hey, listen, man's going to be powerful. He'll corrupt men and women who believe. It'll be a powerful thing to see. But we are waiting for what? Not the Antichrist. We are waiting for Messiah. And He will come on the horizon from the east to the west. And we will see Him and know for sure who He is. Yeah, they will be corrupted. But, thank you, Lord. I'm a believer. Thank you. But the people that do know their God shall be strong. What? And do exploits. That's us. That's the remnant. Now notice the DNA there of the remnant. This is a teaching by, his name is Dr. Michael Lake. Fine man, Pentecostal. Enjoy him immensely. Met him and talked to him. But he says, the DNA is what? To know, to be strong, and to do. It's all there. This is what we will be. Whether it be now, today when you go out there, you can do all of these things. You know God, you are strong in God, and then you act. This isn't to be something to be held until we see the great work of that the great deceiver there, deceiving so many. No, it's for now. Apply it now to your life. Know your God. What does know your God mean? Yada. You ever hear people go, yada, yada, yada? I have. I never knew that's what that meant. No, no, no. K-N-O-W. There's a bumper sticker out there. Know, N-O, God. Know, N-O, peace. Know God, K-N-O-W, God. Know peace, K-N-O-W, God. Know peace. I love it. I put it on my car, but I speed and I don't want, I got thoroughly convicted, so I don't use bumper stickers. Although older, as my wife will testify, I have slowed down some. Okay. Spiritual DNA. To know God, yada, to learn, to understand, to discern, and to distinguish. Do you not like that? To know, to understand, to discern, and to distinguish. You know God. You know who He is. You know what He's done. You know His love. You know His forgiveness. You know His redemptive powers. Because they have set your heart upon them. And you are literally consumed by them. Oh yes, we go to work. We do this and that. We can't be walking around in la-la land, always about the Lord Jesus. But what we do as work, we do what? We glorify Him at the end of the day and say, thank you, God Almighty. You got me through this day and good things were done. I remember those days. Sometimes I'd be at work, you know, and I wouldn't think about Jesus very much. And I'd say, oh my gosh, God forgive me. I haven't thought about you. I got so consumed by my work. And then sometimes I think about Him so much I get tired of Him. The Holy Spirit would roar up at me and say, how can you be tired of thinking about your Messiah? Honest, true stories. To know. Not superficially either, people. You know what I always say a lot about a lot of men? Oh, they know of God. Oh yeah, they know of Jesus. But they don't know Him. That was me for 36 years, raised in the church. Oh, I knew of this man. Oh, yeah, he's a good dude, man. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know of him. I mean, I didn't know him. I knew of him, but I didn't know him. And that was my problem, not God's. My problem. Take responsibility, people. Different Bibles interpret this differently. I like some of them. It says, people who are to know God, people who know God and who are close to God, people who remain loyal to their God, and people who are devoted to their God. That's what it means to know all of those things. Because you know Him. You don't know of Him, you know Him. Paul puts it this way. I like it too. I think someday we're all going to apply this really a whole lot. We're very, very truly we're going to apply this. He says, yea, doubtful, I count all things but a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now this is kind of philosophical. He says, I count all things. I'm telling you right now, man, I count all things at a loss. For the excellency of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. And then he goes on to say this. And he says, now understand this. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and that do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Interesting, isn't it? That I may win Christ. I count it an excellency to know Him. That's a remnant. That's the remnant. All the rest of it's a pile of dung. That's where you got to start thinking, people. Because we are enveloped in worldly things. Things that we think we need, but we really don't. Moving on. He says this. I like this, what Jeremiah said. Thus saith the Lord God. Whoa, up goes your ears. Let not the wise man glory in wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Oh man, that's cutting the world out. Yeah. But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Isn't that lovely? Oh my. Yeah. Yeah. That I am the Lord which exercise what? This is what the remnant understands, people. Loving kindness. Judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Oh, Jeremiah, thank you. The obedience of a man of God, a prophet, who just told us. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, he told us. But we are to know about God, to study and let the revelation come of righteousness and judgment, mercy. Then strength. We are to be strong in God. Now one thing I always like to portray, and I hope you do too, is that I am strong in my faith. I told you about the story of the truck driver. Me and him got into it, 20 minutes of arguing about every faith and all that there was all one, it was all the same way to God, and of course I wouldn't agree with that. Took up my break at work, but it was lovely. I happily gave it away. Just like when one of the kids threw something down my toilet, clogged it up, and I had to have a sewer guy come in and drill it out, you know. But they knew nothing of the gospel. God used that for me to share to these men about the truth of Christ. I thanked every one of my grandchildren, whoever did it. Didn't bother me a bit. I said, thank you. Cost me $100, but thank you. Anyway, oh, Don, settle down. Okay, strength. Yes, to know, to be strong. It's in the Hebrew, it's ka zak. Strengthen, prevail, courageous, be resolute. I was talking to that truck driver, and I was telling him, and he goes, you know, my girlfriend, this man travels 1,000,000 miles. He had a 1,000,000 mile truck sticker on his He says, my girlfriend tells me about that. And I said, yeah. He says, but you're different. I go, what do you mean? He looked at me and said, you believe it. I said, yes, I do. That's what we want people to see. That's what they want. We want people to see and understand and know. Yes. Character. When you are born again, your character changes. And I never used to be able to speak in front of people, believe it or not. Never. Ask my wife and my sons. I went in front of a Lutheran church and I wasn't prepared and it was hot. We had no air conditioning. I had one of them big robes on, you know, and it was like insulation in a hot day. You know, the Lutheran people like them things up front. Anyway, it was the time. And it was so hot that I wasn't prepared and I was really nervous. And I didn't want to be there, and these big drops of sweat poured off my face. And I mean like big raindrops hitting the Bible. Boom. Boom. That's how much I sweat and was nervous. But I changed when God came into me, and I began to understand that I have this truth because I became a part of the remnant. And I have this understanding, and I will stand on it because I can go from Genesis through Revelation and show you that this is the truth. Prophecy after prophecy, statements after the true God that cannot lie, nor will He. He can't. I changed. And then I got really weird. And God said, you're going on the street. I became a street preacher. But I'm just peculiar people, not weird. Known by God. That's all. As you are, whether you raise children, whether you care for your husband and love him, whether you teach in Sunday school, you are peculiar unto God and that He knows you and you serve Him. The glory of God. We don't have to worry anyway. You'll understand what I mean real quick here. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. Good old Paul. Teaches this real well, doesn't he? He's got this thorn in his side. And it was bothering him terrible and he wanted God to take it out. God says, my grace is sufficient with you. He says, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Hey, we don't have to be strong. He's strong in us. It's wonderful. Have you ever walked in God's strength when your strength is, oh, Lord, why am I doing this? This can't be. Do it. You are walking in God's strength. Young people, start early. Don't wait till you're 36. Start early. And let God fill you full of His strength. Old people, you're not too old. I'm one of the older ones of this group. Although we had a birthday surprise yesterday, a birthday party. Happy birthday, Joe. All of us, we know this. My strength is most gladly, therefore I will glory in my weaknesses and my infirmities. Yes, I will. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. He will take them away. And then here's the beauty of it. 12:10, 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong in Christ. You know, there's times when I get on the street, I said, look at them, Lord. They don't want nothing to do with me. Not even when I got my mouth shut. They don't want nothing to do with me. I believe they know too sometimes. I believe they know. But anyway, to be strong and painful. And then to do. Exercise your faith, people, to do. I've been talking about that. When God tells you to do something, do it. Immediately. If it's called to be done, immediately. I was walking along, Cheryl and I, and we were downtown with Leroy and Betty. And there was this kid walking up, and God says, you go talk, give him a track. And it was very specific. And I said, honey, we got to go give this man a tract. I walked up and I said, here, I want you to know who Jesus Christ is. And he goes, who is he? And I said, what? This is early in my witnessing. He says, I don't know him. Who is this man? I've never heard of him. You see, God says, go do it. Don't ask why. Just do it. Just do it. He has a reason. And his ways are higher than our ways, are they not? Isaiah 55. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Do it. What does Nike say? Just do it. They take it out of the Bible. I know they do. Just do it. And He will bless you. Walk in that Spirit. Be led. We aren't led by the law or anybody else, not by a man. We are led by the Spirit of the living God and encouraged by men. Of course, we all have our part for encouragement and joy and the peace, and that they would see that we work and love and follow God. I look at Ray and his defenders, how he was called out to use that to preach Jesus. I could no more do that. I don't know anything about basketball. And God has not called me to that, but He has used Ray. He has used Jamie in wrestling. That I know about. But it's not my calling. To separate young men out as they come to this camp or that camp or on that team and to hear the truth of the gospel. That's how it works. Be faithful and encourage him, please. Because sometimes it's not that easy. And moving on. Asa, without hesitation. That's the Jewish word. I like that one. I can pronounce it. Asa. Without hesitation. Do it. Story about that real quick. Michelle and I, well, I was called, opened the paper one day, and there was a teaching from the Red Cross about AIDS. And you could go there and learn how to support patients with AIDS. And I felt God tell me to do it. And I said, I don't want to deal with them people. And he wouldn't let it go. I picked up paper after paper, and there it was, looking at me. And finally I said I would go. And it was a huge test, and that's what it was. He will test you in these do's. He will test you and to find out if you truly trust Him. He will test you. So anyway, we get there. And of course, it's full of other homosexuals who are going to serve each other. And they're dying. This was early in AIDS. And they were dying left and right, so they wanted to teach how to support them. And I said I would go because I knew God wanted me to, although I didn't want to go. Didn't. So I get there and we're sitting in this round table thing, and the leader looks at everybody. She goes, okay, I'm going to tell everybody. I want everybody here to tell why you're here. It's the truth. Cheryl's right beside me. And then he looks at me and goes, and we're going to start with you. It's the truth. True. He said, why are you here? And I said, I've come to tell you the truth. Believe me, it wasn't easy. I'm going to tell you the truth. That the lifestyle you're in will damn you to eternal death. And I went on. And on. And the guy's eyes are about this wide. And this was a 2-day affair. Or a Friday night and all day Saturday in the spring, and it was a beautiful weekend. And then Cheryl, right next to me, supported me 100% when she looked at Cheryl. When he looked at Cheryl, she said, I'm with him. And I looked at her and said, thank you. It was wonderful. The whole weekend, the whole day. Was it easy? No. By the time I got done, you know what one of them said to me? Because I followed and obeyed God, not because I'm a great man of God, simply because I obeyed. Say nothing about me, it's about being obedient to God. He goes, you know what you should do? Hang up a shingle. That means the console. I didn't particularly want to do that. Christ and Him crucified. obedience to God, strong in that faith, and we understand it. Oh God, help us to understand it more. Finally, this. So, let's go over it. We need to know God. We need to be strong in God. And we need to exercise our faith or do it. As the remnant, it's our responsibility. Psalm 91 is great. It says this, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's the remnant, but there's different levels of remnancy. I know there is. What God wants you to do is desire that. And He honors it. Even if you don't make it, I truly believe that. If there's a man that said, oh God, I want that, and works towards it, and desires it, and goes, God honors it. He honors what? His heart. Beautiful. Secret place of the Most High, the shadow of the mighty, of the Almighty. I will say, that's the remnant. You'll say that too, won't you? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, the only true God. In Him I will put my trust. You see, the Psalm 91 is about all about the promises of God to those who love and know and believe Him. I could go all the way through it. It's a teaching itself, of course. But in 91:14, God takes over. David wrote the first part in the Spirit, but then God speaks firsthand to us. In 91:14, Psalm 91:14, He says, Because the remnant has set His love upon me, therefore I, God, will deliver him. David couldn't deliver me. David can't deliver me now. I will deliver him. I will set him on high because what? He has known my name. Yeshua. Yeshua. Salvation. How do we know this, God? He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Promise after promise after promise. And I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him, and I will honor him. Do you want to be honored by man? I don't. What happens to people that are honored by men? They pick up this word, this one letter word. I did well. I did this. I'm not up here because of I. I'm up here because of God. Because 35 years ago, couldn't even dreamed of it. Finally this. To call upon me, I will answer him. In 91:16, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's God. That's God. But here's the best part of everything. My cousin Stephen died a couple weeks ago and I officiated his funeral. That's what God led me to. It's amazing how God works and intertwines the scriptures. Because Stephen got saved about 3 weeks before he died. You know, he'd grab it and I'd pray with him. He goes, oh, I believe, Don, I believe. He was my good friend for many years. I got married and he became a recluse. An old bachelor. It made no sense, but Micah 7:18 and Micah 7:19. Who is God like unto thee that pardoneth the iniquity, our lawlessness, people? Our lawlessness. And passeth by the transgressions of who? The remnant. Those who believe. The remnant of what? His heritage. His inheritance. He retaineth not his anger forever. No. Because he delighteth what? In mercy. You know, he's got a storehouse up there of mercy. And it never runs out. It never even goes down. Grace is up there with it. This is a God of love. See, on Stephen, God have had mercy. Micah 7:19, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. Read Psalm 91. Some of us will be protected like that. Some of us will live. Some of us will die. But whatever it is, we will do it in the Lord. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And then what? Thou wilt cast all their sins to the depths of the sea. Amen. Amen, people. Whew. I'm glad I'm a remnant. Yeah? But get a load of this. You ever sleep under a quilt? They're warm. You see, God sews us all together, doesn't He? Doesn't He not sew us all together, people? I'm looking at the remnant, but I'm attached to you all. How? God sews us all together in the church of Jesus Christ. We are in one accord by the Spirit of the living God. He has sewn us together. And oh, we are few. Yeah? We're few.